But I will say again to all of you this morning, all you moms on the line, happy Mother's Day to you. I hope you're starting off with a great one. I hope it's going to be an awesome and fantastic day for you in Jesus' name. We are so blessed at Deliverance Temple. As many of you know, good morning, Minister Rogers. Many of you know who had the pleasure of knowing my mother, Doris Dixon, who was an amazing woman. I'm not going to cry today. I'm happy today. I'm not going to get all emotional on y'all. Don't worry. But she was a phenomenal woman of God, an amazing prayer warrior, a dedicated lover of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for her, for the legacy of prayer that she has left, that has really kind of fallen on me. I had not expected a couple of years ago to be leading a prayer conference call. That was Sister Elizabeth Heron's deal. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to support you. And when she moved back to Southeast Missouri, I thought, well, I guess that's the end of that. It was a good run, you know what I'm saying? But the Lord had other plans in mind. And still, to this day, twice a week, we're on there praying. And God is good. God is absolutely good. So I thank God for prayer. I even, you know, some of y'all know, I even end up writing a book about prayer. This is my book, Prayer, That Actually Makes a Difference. And so if you'd have told me that I've been writing a book on prayer, leading a prayer conference call, I'm like, nah, that's somebody else. But I thank God for the legacy of Doris P. Dixon that has fallen on me in some respects there. And certainly all the other moms out there, if I get to name and names, that would be, you know, somebody I would miss. But I'm so grateful for our church mothers. So grateful for my sisters, Pastor Carol Clark, Sister Tyra Knox, both of who are on here today with me. I'm so very grateful for them. I honor my late sister, Linda Carr. Y'all all know Mother Carr. Many of you at least know Mother Carr. Good morning, Mother Looney. Good to see you. We're just surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone on and those who are still with us. And so we salute you, moms, today. We thank God for you. We can't say enough good things about you. Pastor Gwen Marshall, another fantastic mom. Good morning to you. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. So I want to continue this morning, give you a little bit of review. I always do. I think really any teacher worth his or her salt, especially if doing a series kind of a thing, does a little bit of time of review so that everybody's kind of caught up and you kind of on board with what we're doing. We've been doing a series that we started here in the month of May called Characters in Crisis. Characters in Crisis. And I don't have to tell you that right now the United States and the world is in a bit of a crisis. Now, some would have you think that it's all over because, you know, you change a rule that all of a sudden everything goes away. But we know that's not really the case, right? And so, unfortunately, people are still contracting coronavirus, still being assaulted by COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus, and still dying. We were well over 70,000 people last time I looked in the United States alone who have passed away from this somewhat dread infection and disease. And so we find ourselves in the midst of unprecedented times. I have told you before, as I have begun to tell you prophetically on New Year's Eve at the watch night service, God said to me, and I shared with the people there, some 10 or 11 congregations strong represented, that 2020 would be a year of the unprecedented. It would be a year of new precedents. And God is certainly setting new precedents, or in many ways still to be seen, going to be setting new precedents in large part because the old precedents are falling away. We have seen unprecedented times here these first few months of 2020. We've seen economies shut down, so much so that our own government has pumped more than $3 trillion with a T, not an M for million, not a B for billion, but $3 trillion into the economy to try to keep it stable, just to try to keep it afloat. That's not necessarily enough to push it back to high times, just to keep it afloat. Now, that's a crisis. I don't know if you've ever, okay, I know you haven't, ever written a check for $3 trillion, unless you were just like playing and stuff, right? $3 trillion is a lot of money, and it's never at all ever been distributed back to the people. Now, there's a reversal, right? Usually they're asking for your money. Here they're giving the money to the people, to the businesses, trying to keep things afloat here in the U.S. Unprecedented. Never seen anything like it. Never seen stay-at-home orders like this. Never seen these thousands and thousands of people passing away, and still we don't have a cure. Still we don't have a vaccine. Still we don't have a magic pill. But we do have God. We do have our God. And so in times of crisis, it's incumbent upon us to remember, back in my old message from last month, y'all, a little bit, some of you were with us, most of you probably were with us for those eight R's for right now, and one of them is to remember. We start right there by remembering who God is, remembering what he's already done, remembering that we got a relationship, there's another R for you, with him. And he has promised to never leave us, never forsake us. So even in rather dire times such as these in which we find ourselves, he is still with us. He is still available to us. Now listen, I want to tell you right now that not everybody who names the name of Jesus is really down. Now, I don't say that so that you can try to figure out who is and who isn't. That's not your job. But I will tell you, and this is not, I'm not no tea, no shade. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not trying to throw shade of any kind here. I am simply stating what I believe to be a fact and an observation that the testing that we're going through, and it's not from God, let me be very clear, not a testing from God, but life is testing us. Our own decisions are testing us. Our own human decisions, again, that we have made have brought us to this place. And so what do? When you find yourself in a crisis, you know, one created by yourself, and you say, hey, I'm innocent, I didn't create coronavirus or anything of that sort, and whether it was created or migrated over to the human species from a bat or whatever, however it got here, is here and it's killing folk, it's shutting down economies, and here we are. Here we are. So what do you do? What do you do? Who do you turn to? Now, that $1,200 stimulus check, that's nice, but for most of us living in the U.S., if you are in some third, fourth world country, $1,200 would like carry you all year and then some. But $1,200 to some folk in America get you to like Thursday. All right, let's be real. Praise God for it, but come on. So we need something beyond that. We need a sure and reliable place. And that place is found, I would suggest to you, in God. He is the secret place. Psalm 91 tells us that the person that dwells in the secret place dwells. Now get that, dwells. I didn't say run in and out, play around 6 days a week, and then come in for an emergency treatment. But dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abides. There's another ongoing word. That's not one of those in and out. I'm here on Sundays and you can't find me the rest of the week, but abides under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow, the protection. You're close enough for him to cast a shadow on you. You're within the domain of his protection. That's a promise from the Word of God. And so that's the place where we should be. You know, I'm not big about necessarily some of the language that we use. We say, press into God, press into God. Listen, he's already pressed into you. But you need to shift your awareness to the fact that he's there. You need to purposely and intentionally make yourself available to the presence of God. You need to make sure that you're standing in the place where his shadow is falling on you. You need to be close enough, that close, where you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty and under his protection. And though we are going through some crazy stuff right now, I want you to understand that God has not forgotten us. God has a plan, and you're part of that plan. And so we looked on last week what's a familiar passage to some of us, and we began to break it down a little bit as the Holy Spirit gave us utterance, and we looked at the prophet Elijah, and we looked at how he had declared by the word of the Lord that there would not be dew or rain until he said so. And that drought that ensued in Israel went on for some 3.5 years or so. And during that drought, God had given instruction both to him, morning minister, both to him and to others, in this case, a widow, we see. We spent a little time, and I won't go back there, to go over that. Please check the replay. It is right here in the Facebook feed for DT Live. If you haven't seen it already, or if you need to see it again, go back and check that out. He began to instruct and command and appoint first the ravens to bring Elijah food twice a day, and then later a widow woman up in Zarephath of Sidon, foreign country, where they did not serve Yahweh. They didn't serve the Lord up there. But he had a plan that went beyond what Elijah knew about. And so Elijah, being obedient, followed that plan, went to Zarephath, found the widow, and as a result, God sustained both him and her for many, many, many days. I want you to understand that God has not forgotten about you. He will sustain you through this crisis if you trust him, if you are obedient, if you, again, press in, as it were, to that secret place. I'm convinced that one of the things that God wants to do during this time is to speak to us, to really talk to us. And in some respects, we've been too busy to listen. We've been too busy to hear the voice of God. We've been too busy. Let me stop right there. I hear somebody thinking, let me be really, 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 really clear. I do not believe for one second God sent coronavirus. No, this is not from our good Father. No. But I have seen too many examples in Scripture and in my own life where God will use, not waste, but use your current situation and circumstances to forward his plan, which, by the way, is always good for you in the end. Consult Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you know that one. He's got good things planned for you. He's got good things in mind for you. He's a good, good father, and he has great love for you. But sometimes we're moving so fast. We are so distracted. Oh, my God. I don't want to camp out there. I don't want to get stuck on that word. But we're so distracted by the things that are going on, by our own cares and concerns, by things we're trying to do, by plans we have made and are trying to carry out. We are so distracted. Good morning, Sister Pam. That we can't hear his instruction, his simple instruction. We cannot hear what he is trying to say to us. And so, although he leads us, the psalmist tells us, he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. How many of you understand that if he's leading, but you're not following, you're still not on track? Mm-hmm. If he's leading, but you're not following, you're not on track. Right. So, I want you to consider that during this time of COVID-19, during this time of shelter in place, during this time where even though many states and municipalities and such are somewhat relaxing the shelter in place rules, opening up businesses, that kind of thing, trying to figure out how in the whole wide world to get our economy back on track and up and running. We're still in crisis. We're still in crisis. The COVID infections, COVID deaths, still going up. We're not out of the woods yet, as it were. And so while we are still in, an altered state of reality, let me just put it that way, because this has been a real trip for all of us, right? While we're in this altered state, while we are, some of us, shut up at home, literally, at the house for 7-8 weeks, some of us, and others are on limited outings, you know. I think a tank of gas is running me like about 5 weeks now, you know, so it's like, well, I guess I need to get, no, I'm still good, okay, well, that, and when you do go get gas, it's done dropped off the face of the earth. You know, I think I paid $1.13 or something crazy last time for a gallon of gas when I filled up my car. So we are definitely in an altered state of reality from what we were just a few months ago. I would suggest to you strongly that while we are in this altered state, while we are in this time of crisis, is a perfect time, is the best time to reevaluate some things, to get close to God. And when I say that, man, I want to tell you, as a teacher, I'm careful about my wording. And so sometimes to the point of almost redundancy, please forgive me. I will make sure that you're understanding to the best of my ability what it is that I'm saying, that you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. And so when I say to you, that right now we are in a place where we need to press in. You can't get any closer to God than he already is to you, for real. But you can shift your awareness. You can eliminate the distractions, and many of those distractions have been eliminated for us. Huh? I mean, they gone. You know, if, well, I'm just too bad. I just got to go to work. Well, now you're home for, you know, 2-3 weeks or whatever. Well, I got to do this. I got to get the kids to school. Well, guess what? School's at the house. So things are different, right? And indeed, you're right about it, Sister Libby. It's dangerous to be off track. You want to be on track. You want to stay on track. Good morning, Brad. You want to be on track and stay on track. And you've got to hear what God is saying to you in order to do that. And so you want to eliminate these distractions, and you want to press in, as it were. to hear the voice of God. Because you don't even know what's next. You don't even know what's around the corner. That's not to put fear in you. That's just to tell you that all the more reason to make sure that you are in a place and a space and a state of mind where you can hear clearly from God. Now, that having been said, I have no question whatsoever that God has been sending word to us at Deliverance Temple Ministries for years, in fact, but in particular over these last several months during this COVID-19 pandemic, God has been sending word. I hope you are getting the word that he's sending on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings and throughout the week as people are calling each other or sharing a word with you. As you're opening up your Bible, yes, I hope that you are not leaving it dusty on the shelf during this time, but that you are actually opening up your Bible and allowing God to speak to you. So, I say all that to say this. We are in crisis. We find ourselves in crisis. But it's not the first time God has dealt with folks in crisis. And he always has an answer. He always has a remedy. Whoever you are, whatever you're going through, you are not beyond the purview of God and his plan. You are not beyond his love and his reach. And so we are to be thankful for that. I mean, you should give praise to God for that alone. So let me move on this morning, or otherwise I won't get to my scripture, doing review and just kind of some general commentary there. And as I look at this, and I'm sure we're going to get to the New Testament eventually, because there are characters all through this Bible in crisis. But these first couple of weeks, at least, I find myself in the Old Testament. Let me tell you quickly that I love the Old Testament. I am a whole Bible Christian. And I suggest to you that we ought to be whole Bible Christians. We are New Covenant believers. I'm just going to drop that out there for you. I'm not going to get into it, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. We're New Covenant believers. We're on this side of the cross, but we are whole Bible Christians. We're whole Bible believers, right? And so God has, as Paul pointed out, God has put the Old Testament together for us as examples. Let me say also very quickly that God's character and nature don't change. There's not one God in the Old Testament and a different one in the New. I know many people have tried to make that argument, especially folks in the world who don't have a clue, have tried to make that argument. God is love throughout. He is grace throughout the whole 66 books. We are whole Bible Christians and New Covenant believers. That's right, Sister Beth. And so we're going to turn to another Old Testament scripture. I love this story. It's just amazing in so many ways. And I want to read through it, and then we're going to try to unpack a little bit by the grace of the Holy Spirit, unpack a little bit that I believe will find you wherever you are, and that you'll be able to take something away from this that will inform your situation and your particular set of circumstances. How many of you understand that we are different folk? Y'all don't live in my house. And so I got my own concerns. I got my own things to attend to, as do we all. But God sends us a word, and it's amazing. It never fails to amaze me how that God can send a word. You sitting up here, 200 people sitting in the congregation, the minister is ministering, and y'all all hear something for you. Because Holy Spirit he's just amazing like that, right? So I want to turn, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the second book of Kings in the Old Testament. That comes right after the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, y'all. For those of you who may need a little help right there. I'm just playing. Don't get offended. Second Kings, and we're going to chapter 3. Second Kings, chapter number 3. Second Kings, chapter number 3. And as I say, I want to read down through here. We're going to go probably most of this we're going to take a quick look at. And so I've got to keep moving in order to get it all done. In fact, maybe I'll just read it through first of all, and we'll go from there. There's so much here, though. Lord, help me. Help me. I got about half an hour out. So y'all pray. Y'all ain't praying. Pray. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. Now, understand just quickly, this was the time that the people of Israel, the people of God, were divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom called Israel, and the southern kingdom called Judah. And so they each had a separate king. At this particular time, Jehoram has come to power in the northern kingdom, Israel, at the same time that Jehoshaphat is king in the southern kingdom of Judah. Back to Jehoram. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and his mother. We say Ahab was his dad, who was, yeah, a whole nother story. That brother was had problems. So Jehoram wasn't quite as bad. He didn't do evil as his father did and his mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal, or Baal, if you will, which his father made. Nevertheless, watch out for the nevertheless, y'all. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. So, phew, Lord, I'm trying to keep moving, not stop off too often here. Understand that partial obedience is still disobedience, y'all. And though Jehoram wasn't as bad as his mom and dad, he still had his pet sins. He still had his ways that he decided he was going to cling to. Although he put up a good front on this end. He destroys, you know, and tears down the altars and pillars to Baal, but yet holds on to some of the other sins. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. Verse 4. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder and used to pay the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100 and the wool of 100,000 rams. That's some serious bank right there, y'all. I know y'all deal in dollars and cents, but we're talking lambs and rams wool here. 100,000 is 100,000. That's a lot. Brother got used to receiving that. Jehoram did. He got used to that money flowing in from the king of Moab, right? This was happening during the reign of his father Ahab. They're paying these tribute. It's all good. Verse 5, but when Ahab died, somebody say things are about to shift. When Ahab died, things changed. The king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went to Samaria at that time and mustered all of Israel. Then he went and sent word to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? See, I'm looking for friends, y'all, right about now. I'm in trouble and I need some friends because somebody said I get by with a little help from my friends. Lord have mercy. Okay. And Jehoshaphat says to him, I'll go up with you. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. He said, which way shall you go up? Watch out now. Listen, when you're not being led by the Lord, you can get yourself into trouble. I'm just trying to talk about what I'm talking about here. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But I want you to understand, when you are not being led by the Lord, when you are not listening for his instruction, when you're out there on your own, trying to figure it out your own way, trying to make the best sense of it that you can in your own strength and ability, if you will, you can end up in trouble. So he goes and gets help from Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat says, which way do you want to go? This is your, you know, it's your party. Which way do you want to go? He says to him, let's go by the way of the wilderness of Edom. Let's go by the way of the wilderness of Edom. Now, you should pick up something right there. Wait a minute. We're gonna go to Moab, but we're not taking the direct route. We're going to circle around and go through the wilderness of Edom. Something about this does not seem like a good plan to me, but it's your party. Okay, we're gonna go pick up some more help. That's what you got in mind. I'm not quite following you, but okay, I'm following you. So they head off through the wilderness of Edom. Edom for you old folk. So the king of Israel, this is verse 9, the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They picked up some help, and they made the circuit 7 days. Good Lord from Zion. I'm trying to stay calm here, y'all. They made the circuit 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Did you hear me when I said through the wilderness of Edom? Yeah, they out in the wilderness. They marching for 7 days. At that time, you're going to lay siege to somebody. You know, there wasn't no takeout, wasn't no Pizza Hut. You had to take your food with you. So they were literally marching cattle along with them so that when they got to where they were going and began to put up the fight, they would have food in the camp for all these folk. So you got thousands of men. You got thousands of cattle. Y'all on a big drive. You're going 7 days' journey into the wilderness. And you look up and guess what? There is no water nowhere. I know that's bad English. Y'all forgive me. No water nowhere, y'all. They're in a crisis. They find themselves in a crisis. And as is so often the case, no tea, no shade, many of the times we find ourselves in crisis, it was of our own doing. It was of decisions that we made on our own without consulting God. And here we is. Yep, bad English. Here we is. And Pastor Gwen, what is us going to do? What is us going to do? We are in crisis mode here. And so the king of Israel says, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab. When you're in a crisis, first thing not to do, the first thing not to do is jump to conclusions. We all gonna die. Shut up with that. The first thing not to do when you're in a crisis, throwing up your hands, talking about this is the end, the sky is falling, we're all gonna die. This is essentially what Jehoram is saying here. The same guy who didn't bother to consult God before he trekked off 7 days into the wilderness and took his friends with him. Yeah, there's something right there. Sometimes it's not just going to affect you. Your decisions affect other folk as well. The fact that you failed to consult God in the first place, went off on your own because this is what you wanted to do. It seemed good to you at the time. It was a great idea in the moment. And now you're in crisis, and not just you. So he said, we're all going to die. But Jehoshaphat, let me tell you real quick, y'all remember Jehoshaphat over in, I believe it's 2 Chronicles 20, y'all remember how he was in a crisis situation. Three armies coming up against him. But unlike his buddy Jehoram, he turns to God and he says, Lord, these guys are coming to get us. We don't know what to do. Hey, hallelujah. It's okay to admit I don't have a clue, God. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Y'all know the story. I'm not going to go into it deep. You can look it up yourself. But God delivers. God sends a word to him, and he tells him the battle's not yours. It's the Lord. He gives him a powerful way out of this thing. So he knows some things. He understands, hey, look, it looks dire. We are definitely in a crisis situation. I'm not arguing that point with you at all, but I am telling you that God has not forsaken us. It's not time to throw up your hands and quit. It's not time to throw in the towel and say, this is the end. We all going to die. The devil is a liar. So he's like, man, look, no, I don't receive that. Hush. I do not receive that. Can I tell you right now that sometimes people will try to speak into your life, speak over your life, speak through your life. And you just gotta say, no, listen, I don't receive that. That's not a word for me. That doesn't apply to me. What I say about me and what God says about me is more important than anything you can ever say about me. Oh, that's a word for somebody right there. You need to get people out your ear that are talking crazy, that are sowing seeds of doubt, that are sowing seeds of defeat. You're not defeated. You're victorious. God has called you to be a victor, not a victim. Come on. So Jehoshaphat says, yo, bro, I got to counter that right there. I'm not receiving that from you. He says, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Jehoshaphat says, I got a great idea, God. Guys, let's ask God about it. Here's a brilliant idea I just had. Instead of saying the sky is falling and we're all going to die today, how about we ask God for instruction? Wow, when in crisis, ask God for instruction? Who knew? Good morning, Breet. Love you, girl. We can ask God for instruction when we're in the crisis. And in fact, you need to ask God for instruction when you're in the crisis. Lord, let me keep going here. So one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, well, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Glory to God. Are you feeling this already, minister? Here's Elisha. Well, who's Elisha? He's the guy that used to be the servant, the student, the pupil of Elijah. Y'all know Elijah. We just talked about him last week. Here's Elisha coming. And I said, he's here. I think he got connections, y'all, because, I mean, he hung out with Elijah. I think he knows something. He was close, bro. He was close. Let's seek out what the man of God has to say on the matter. So Jehoshaphat says, the word of the Lord is with him. Ah, sometimes you need to know where you can get a word. You need to know who's dependable, who has a good connection to the Lord here. I hope that's you yourself in your closet, but he says, the word of the Lord is with him. He says, I've seen this kind of thing before, and God has not forsaken us. We need to seek out the word of the Lord.
and the word of the Lord, I just believe, I just got a feeling, Jehoshaphat says. I got a sense somehow that there is a word for us, and that word is with the man of God. Let's ask him about it. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. We three kings, yeah, come down to check out Elisha. Now, Elisha said to the king of Israel, I love this part. This is, you know, listen, one of the things I love about the Bible, especially the Old Testament, they ain't sugarcoating here. We're not trying to paint a pretty picture. And Elisha was one of them salty prophets, like his spiritual father, Elijah, was salty. The bro had much salt on him, okay, as well as oil flowing. He had much salt as well. He is a prophet of the southern kingdom, right? They following God. Jehoshaphat's a good guy. He's strong in the ways of God. We've already given you a little bit of Jehoram's resume. Yeah, he did some good things, but he still was clinging to a bunch of sin. We know that he's out here without having consulted God, and has put the whole mission in jeopardy, everybody with him. And so they come to Elisha. Elisha says, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mother, your mama. Uh-oh, on Mother's Day too? What? He says, and the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. He's still talking noise. He's standing in front of the man of God, still with that same negative word in his mouth. He hasn't got a clue yet. He's standing here still spouting off doubt and unbelief. Listen, when you are digging a hole, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Come on, I said it again now. When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. He's still digging. Glory to God. He's still talking crazy. Oh, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Brother, help us out. Elisha, please help us out. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, thank God for friends, thank God for friends, I would not look at you or see you. Talk to the hand, bro. If it wasn't for this man of God right here, I wouldn't look at you or see you. I told you he was salty. But now, bring me a minstrel. Somebody says, worship time. It's worship time when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, sing a praise to the Lord. Get you some soaking music and get yourself quiet and get yourself still so Holy Spirit can begin to minister to you, can begin to speak to you. He said, bring me a minstrel. Let him play. I'm hearing so much noise from y'all. And this fool over here talking about we all gonna die. Hush that. I can't hear. I can't hear. There's so much noise going on. I can't hear. That's right. It's worship time, Sister Beth. It's worship time, Sister Chris. It's worship time, Minister Rogers. It's worship time. Let me worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in his set apartness. Let me get set apart with him. Let me hear from him. Lord, speak now. Your servant listens. Shut out the noise and the distractions. Turn off CNN and Fox News and get you some worship music and begin to listen and allow God to speak to you and give you instruction and give you direction. Y'all don't hear me? Ha ha!
God bless you, Minister Tucker. Yeah. Yeah. Shut out the noise, Pastor Clark. That's right. Shut it out. Shut it out. God wants to speak to you. God's trying to tell you something, Shug. Come on now. So he says to him, bring me a minstrel. I got to hear from the Lord. Now, Elisha has the minstrel brought to him, and it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. He began to play, and the Spirit of God came upon Elisha. And he got a word. He heard the voice of God speaking in his ear. Here's the instruction that you need. Here's the thing that you need that's going to get you out of the crisis situation that you're in. It's not the latest report on the news that's going to get you out. It's not even the latest decree from the president that's going to get you out. You need a word from God. You're a character in crisis, and you need a word from God. So he says, I feel my help coming now. He says, I feel my help coming. The hand of the Lord came upon him. And he says in verse 16, thus says the Lord. I could throw something right there, y'all. Not thus said your best friend. Not thus said somebody at over the fence. Not thus said CBN, TBN, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, MOUSE. None of them. Thus says the Lord. Make this valley full of trenches. I love the King James right here, which says, make this valley full of ditches. God, I'm in the midst of a crisis situation, and you calling me to be a ditch digger? You calling me to do what? Dig a ditch? Dig a whole bunch of ditches? What in the world are you doing? What are you saying, God? It don't make sense to me. Do you not see? We out here in trouble, in this wilderness. Ain't no water nowhere. Did you miss that part, Jesus? No. I got you. Dig a ditch. Sometime you need to just get your shovel, sing you a song, and begin to dig. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, make this valley full of ditches, full of trenches. For thus says the Lord. There we go again. You shall not see wind nor or rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts. I got you all. I got you all. I got you all. That's right. It makes God sense. It may not make good sense, as we call it, but it makes God sense. And that's all you need to know. Dig a ditch. Hallelujah. So this is but a slight thing. My God, today I could throw this tablet right there, y'all. Verse 18, the man of God says to them, y'all tripping. Y'all tripping. Y'all thinking, oh my God, we all going to die. He said, this is but a slight thing. You haven't even begun to see what God is going to do. You haven't even begun to see the miracles that are coming your way. You don't even know the victory that he has slated for you. You sit up here talking about we all going to die. Shut that noise up. Get a word from God. Get direction and instruction from God. Come on now. I'm running with you, sis. Hallelujah. He said, this is but a slight thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also give the Moabites into your hands. I got big victory up for you. I got big victory in store for you. But dig a ditch first. Ah!
Then you shall strike terror every fortified city, every choice city, and fell every good tree. Y'all stop all the springs of water, mar every good piece of land. He said, y'all going to go on a, listen, you going, Jesus, I hear you. He says, you're going to terrorize terror. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. That's a pause on purpose. I'm going to fold my arms on that one, y'all. He said, you're going to terrorize terror. The thing that's been scaring you, the thing that's been terrorizing you, you about to terrorize it. It's about to become afraid of you. That's a word. Somebody need to grab hold of that. The thing that's been terrorizing you, you about to terrorize it. Somebody say, I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I ain't scared. Mm-mm. No, ma'am, no, sir. I ain't scared. So verse 20, I'm trying to hurry on here. My time is moving. It happened. Lord, I'm going a little long. Y'all give me just about five more minutes, please, and I'm going to let you go. I promise. Okay? Hold on. That's right. I ain't scared. Verse 20, it happened in the morning about the time of offering the sacrifice. I ain't got time to mess with that. There's some more worship right there, y'all. They still worshiping. Jehoshaphat in charge now. He's like, look, y'all, we got to get a word. We got to worship. We got to follow what God is saying. It happened in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, y'all. Behold, water came by the way of Edom. And the country, that is all the valley at the territory where they've been digging these ditches, was filled with water. Come from where? What? Who? What? I didn't even see that coming. Hear the blessing of God showing up. Now all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them. And all who were able put on armor, and older were summoned and stood by the border. They rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water. And the Moabites saw the water opposite them as red as blood. Keep reading, Mark. Then they said, this is the enemy talking. He looking at your situation. He don't know what's going on. He says, this is blood. Ha ha. The kings have surely fought together. And they have slain one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil. Just when the enemy thought he had you. Oh, he looking at the situation, totally misinterpreting what God is doing. God is delivering you. He's thinking you're going down for the last time. I'm coming in to wipe up the spoils. I'm coming in to get you good now. How many of y'all know the devil is stupid? Yeah, I said it. Stupid. Stupid. How I know he's stupid? Because he ain't quit yet doing the same old things he do every time. He ain't come to the senses knowing that God is God, that he can never win. My God, today. I'm almost done, y'all. To the spoil, Moab. Let's go. Get him. When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites so that they fled before them. And they went forward into the land, slaughtering Moabites. Thus they destroyed the cities. Each one threw a stone on every piece of good land and filled it up. So they stopped all the springs of water. I'm telling you, you're about to terrorize what's been terrorizing you. You're about to turn this thing completely around. You're about to flip the script. You're about to come out of crisis and into victory. They felled all the good trees until Kir Hareseth only they left its stones. However, the slingers went about and struck it. Say, I got backup, y'all. I got backup. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, The devil said, it's too much for me. Us got to go. He took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his oldest son. Look, the devil, and I don't talk about him much, but he's desperate right about now. Y'all thought he got the victory, but he's desperate. He did some desperate stuff here at the end of this. And finally, they backed up. Took his oldest son, who was to reign in his place. This is the king of Moab. And offered him as a burnt offering on the wall. And there came great wrath against Israel, and departed from him and returned to their own land. I want to tell you right there, they were appalled. That's what was up. Israel was like, oh my God, you did what? This thing is about to turn around so powerfully for you. What looked like certain defeat, absolute, utter destruction, hopelessness, and despair is about to turn completely around. But I want you to know it will come because you are worshiping and seeking God in this time. He will speak to you. He will direct you. He will give you insight and revelation like you've never had before. Why? Because this is an unprecedented time and you need an unprecedented revelation for what's going forward. Let me tell you though, what is in your future is victory. I prophesy victory to you. I prophesy abundance to you. I prophesy prosperity to you if you will hear the word of the Lord and obey. Get your shovel out. Get ready to dig a ditch. Get your shovel out and get ready to dig a ditch. I got to say it one more time. Get your shovel out and get ready to dig a ditch. Worship like never before. Praise him like never before. Seek his face like never before. Open up your word and let God direct you. Let him speak to you. Victory is in your future. He's not brought you this far to leave you. He's not brought you this far to discourage you. He's not brought you this far that you would be the spoil for the enemy. No, that's not the plan. That's not the plan. That's not the plan. He's brought you for victory. He's brought you to the kingdom, Esther, for such a time as this. He's about to blow the whole thing up on your behalf. He's about to turn the whole thing around for you. He's about to show off his people. I'm just glad to be one of them. Get to digging. That's right, Sister Looney. Get to digging. Hallelujah. I'm going to dig with praise. I'm going to dig with worship. I'm going to dig with my hands up to the sky. I'm going to let him do what he's going to do. I'm going to let him say what he's going to say. He's going to bring about the victory. His own right hand and mighty arm are on my behalf. He's for me, not against me. Hey, if God be for you, who could be against you? I don't care what Moab got up its sleeve. I don't care how they see it. I don't care what they pronounced over you. The devil is a liar. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Yeah. He's about to show off his people. Minister Rogers, he's about to shift this thing. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, glory to God. Listen, I am over time today. Y'all done got me all stirred up. I hope you've got something out of this. I wish again for all of you moms on here a happy Mother's Day. I love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on today. We're going to continue on next week and on the next 3 weeks that we have left with our series here on DTM Transformation Hour, Characters in Crisis. Ah, Lord, have mercy. I want you to understand that even as the people of God, we will find ourselves in crisis. We're in crisis now. But don't think that it means that God has forsaken you or left you or that his plan for you has changed. He's got every detail worked out. And now's the time to listen. Now's the time to hear from him and then do whatever he says, even if it's crazy. dig a ditch? What? For what? We in the middle of the wilderness. Lord, what? Come on now. Go to Zarephath and a widow's going to take care. Did I hear you right? Yeah. It's an unprecedented time in which we find ourselves. And there will be unprecedented directions, unprecedented instructions, and unprecedented miracles, unprecedented blessings, unprecedented victories for you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen and amen. God bless you. Tune in here in another hour, a little less than an hour now, for our DTM Morning Worship Conference call. The number is in the pinned announcements at the top of the page. Get on that line. We're going to hear a powerful word from God. We're going to worship God together. The songbird is on cue. She's ready to go. It's going to be great this morning. So God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you. Happy Mother's Day to you. And we'll talk to you all again very, very soon. Amen. Amen.